Tonight I'd like to invite you to the book of Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for, again, the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just grant the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, that you might use us for your honor and glory and empower our lives to be the light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be. And Lord, that you would bless us with souls being saved and baptized and discipled for your honor and glory. Bring your revival, Lord, and your power, and build Northwood for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, What is in Thine Hand? What is in Thine Hand? And we're going to consider just three thoughts tonight. Well, there'll be a fourth one, but that'll be kind of a conclusion there. But what is in thine hand will be the first thought. And secondly, what is in thine heart? And lastly, we'll consider what is in thine head. So what is in your heart? What is in your hand? And what is in your hand? What is in thine heart? And what is in your head? And so as we consider this, these are the things really that we would consider the natural things of this world that don't have the power of God, that God will empower in our lives for his honor and glory. We need to trust him alone to do that. And so here we find the power of God's blessing in the things that are in our hands, or the things that we put our hands to for the glory of the Lord. And so as we consider this, I want you to think about this. What was it that the Lord was trying to do in the life of Moses? What was God trying to get Moses to see and to believe in and to trust in? So look with me, if you will, in verse 1. And Moses answered, the Lord revealed himself in the burning bush, and he met with the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to send you back to the people of Israel in Egypt, and I'm going to free them through you, Moses. I'm going to go ahead and release them. And Moses had a little bit of a difficult time with that. And he says here in verse 1, and Moses, so we find that conjunction there joining chapter 3 together. And Moses answered and said, but, right? And so he was nervous about the idea at all, and he'd never done anything like this before. Not that he didn't want to do it, but he had a hard time. He says, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, this was all in the heart and mind of Moses. He says, this is what they're going to say, and they're not going to believe that you sent me. And so sometimes, you know, we can kind of look at life that way also. God has called us to do some things and to say some things for his honor and glory. And sometimes we can think, but they won't believe. Amen. They won't see it the way that you're telling me. And so verse 2, the Lord says, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. So it was a real snake, wasn't it? I mean, it was enough. I don't know what kind of snake it was, but I understand they have some pretty venomous snakes in that desert over there. And so I don't know what kind of snake it was, but it frightened Moses. Maybe he recognized it to be a certain kind of a snake. And then verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. That's an interesting concept. Now, I don't know much about handling snakes at all. I would think, I don't know this, I would think you'd want to grab it behind the head so it couldn't grab you and bite you. But I looked up, just for a brief moment, looked up a little bit, what's the best way and what's the worst way to catch a snake? And I've seen some people catching these big, monstrous rattlesnakes, and they actually catch them by the tail. They actually grab them by the tail, and they hold them up like this, and they can't coil up. And the guy would just shake like this. When his head started to go up a little bit, he'd just shake it like that, and the head would drop down. I don't know what it is about the snakes that they didn't coil up and grab him. But I'll tell you, the best way to do it is not to do it. Amen? Just don't touch a snake. And that's my way anyway. I wouldn't want to touch one. But here it is. the Lord asked him to do something that you and I think would be kind of like, are you sure? Did I hear you right? Is that really what you want me to do? And he did do it. And so here he is. It becomes a serpent. Moses flees from before it, so it was a scary snake. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And you know what he did? He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, I would tend to think that the Lord, being so merciful and gracious because he saw how Moses reacted, he knew how Moses was going to react to it when it became a snake, that as soon as he started, the second he touched that thing, I think it became a rod. I don't think the Lord played around at all. I think he allowed it to quickly become a rod in his hand. And notice what he says here in verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, verse 5, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. That they may believe. But who was he giving faith to? Moses. Moses. Remember, Moses was the one with the doubt. He says, I don't. And what did God do? God showed him that he could take a non-living instrument that was in his hand and bring life into it. And then also at this very same time, take that life away. And so God has power over life and things that are non-living. And so he was trying to encourage Moses. You know what God was saying to him? Trust me. Trust me. Listen. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it might be a little bit frightening. You know, sometimes it's a frightening thing when God says, this is what I want you to do. And we scratch our heads and we say, are you sure? Are you sure? I remember one time, my father-in-law, and I was just a young preacher at the time, and we went after church to the park to go have some hot dogs. And anyway, we were having some hot dogs, and there were several of the church members that were there, and we were a young church. It was like, I think, 91, maybe 92. And anyway, there was a basketball game going on at the city park in Sullivan. And this was not, I mean, maybe it was like 6-on-6. I don't know how many guys were there. And he said, now, he said to me, we had eaten some hot dogs and fellowship for a while, and we were watching this game. He said, now, if you really cared about their souls, wouldn't you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? And so, I thought, yeah, if I cared about their souls, I would tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these guys were kind of all different kinds of ages, and it wasn't a real serious game. But I said, excuse me, can I have your attention? That scared me. You know what was even scarier than that? They stopped playing basketball and gave me their attention. And I said, you know, we're from Merrimack Valley Baptist Church, and the most important thing that you can ever have is the assurance of eternal life. And I gave them the plan of salvation, and I handed them each a tract. And I said, listen, if you have any questions, please contact us. And I walked away sweating bullets and saying, thank you, Lord. And my father-in-law said, good job. And I want to tell you something about my father-in-law, who's home with the Lord now. I never seen a better soul winner. He didn't ask me to do something he himself would not do. And I want you to know this. Listen, there are many times, if you've ever gone out door knocking, you can tell the way somebody opens up the door and starts talking to you, whether it's going to be friendly or not friendly. And many times that I've seen it not be friendly, I'm thinking, this won't last long. This won't last long. And we stay there for 10, 15 minutes, and he give them the plan of salvation. And then I say, oh, the door's going to slam. And the next thing, one time, we were invited into these people's home that were eating dinner. And I'm thinking, and he picked up on the whole situation. He said, listen, we don't want to interrupt your dinner. Thank you for inviting us in. We came here to share the gospel of Christ with you. But many times I would think and to myself, this is going to be a short conversation. And he gives out the plan of salvation by the grace of God. And because he knows, listen, souls are slipping away and going into eternity without Christ. And that was the most important thing. And so that moved him. One thing you can definitely say about him was he cared about souls. Amen. And that ought to be a testimony for every believer. God has given to us eternal life. May we with boldness take the word of God, trust him, and walk in that he would use us for his honor and glory. Likewise, that's his plan. That's God's purpose for each and every one of his children. Even Moses, right? He says, you're going to be a testimony to me before Pharaoh, but even before the children of Israel to encourage them in God's great faithfulness, that he still works the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here he is. He says, I want you to know, I've done this here in verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He did it. He said, I'm giving you this. I wanted you to see that. So with boldness, you can say, God has sent me. Amen? So they didn't see that. But Moses saw it, and that's what Moses needed to see in the heart and mind of God. I'm showing you this. Now you can go. Amen? And so he's all excited. Now he's seen this. And notice what happens here. And we see the power that God uses beyond the things that are in our hands. And that's really the work of God that's in our lives. Verse 6 says this, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. He's not using the rod now. He says, put thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now he knew what leprosy was, and so he had no idea why he was putting his hand inside of his bosom. He had no idea. But boy, oh boy, he knew exactly what happened when he put his hand out. And so he was really at the mercy of God, wasn't he? He said, you've trusted me. And so now maybe he thought for a second, what in the world is going on, right? Sometimes we might think that about what God is doing. Lord, what are you doing? But God is wanting us to have our faith or our trust in him wholeheartedly, that he is truly working out everything, even when we don't understand it. Is that true? Even if we don't understand it, God is wanting to work it out for his glory and our good. So notice what happens. He takes it out. His hand was leprous as snow, verse 7. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out. Did you see that? Did you get that? This is not right. That's what he did. Just put it in and plucked it out. I mean, that's when you pluck something, you're in a hurry. And so he wanted to see the resolve here. And so he puts it in, plucks it out in verse 7. And behold, it turned again as the other flesh. And don't you know, he was anticipating, Moses was anticipating that, wasn't it? My goodness. he wanted to see the hand restored. So notice what he says here in verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice, for the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So God is telling him, I am going to show these things by your hand. I'm going to show them, to encourage them that see these things, to put their faith and their trust in you. Now he was doing that to convince Moses, because his concern was they were going to say that God didn't send you. You are out of your mind. You've gone a little bit crazy. You've been in the desert too long. Amen. But no, God was assuring him that he was wanting to use him to build the faith of his people back in Egypt. So verse 9, it says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee for these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, I want you to notice something. God didn't have him pour water out in the desert this time to do that. He didn't turn any water into blood. He showed him the first sign, which was the rod. Moses said, okay, I see something I've never seen before. By the hand of God, he said, "This is here's what I want you to do." God knew these things were going to happen. Then he said, he told him to put his hand inside his bosom, right? And then so he puts it in and takes it out. It's white as snow, as leprosy. And then he says, "Put it back in there again." And God didn't wait for God to say, "Take it out." He just went, put it in, plucked it out. And so now God has built, he has substantiated the faith of Moses in himself. God did that. God built the faith of Moses by an experience that God had given to him. God has begun his work of faith through our salvation. Can anybody tell you, sometimes I think, I don't want to shake. And in fact, I may have said that here, when I talk about if you're saved or not, I may have mentioned this. I'm not trying to shake your faith. Maybe I said that here. I'm not trying to make you doubt your faith. But here's the thing. No man should be able to make you doubt your faith if God has given you that faith. There should be nothing that anybody can do that would cause you to doubt your faith. And that's the kind of faith that God wants to give everybody. This is because something happened to you the day or night that you got saved. God translated you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. From a child of the devil, know what he said? You have your father the devil, to your heavenly father.
Amen.
Adopted you, gave you full-blown inheritance as a son or daughter of God. And so God is wanting you to know that. My goodness, I couldn't serve the Lord if I thought, am I saved? I wonder if I'm going to heaven. What kind of confidence is that? And by the way, did God do that to Moses? Listen, you just go and don't worry about it. No, he did something for Moses to build his faith, didn't he? He gave him an experience. Now, God could have said, now, shame on you, Moses. Get over there and get going. But that's not our God. See, our God wants to build our faith, and it's not just a mysterious thing. God puts a handle so that we can take hold of that faith by his intervention and interaction in our lives, and then he builds on that. Do you think anybody could have told Moses, now listen, this experience, the experience of the 10 plagues in Egypt, and when he was approaching the Red Sea, do you think he doubted the Lord? He said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. I better stand back. I think I almost fell off there. But anyway, he said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And God gave him again. And by the way, Moses had never seen the parting of the Red Sea. And don't you know, we forget about this. I'm convinced Moses said, wow. In his heart. He oh, what an awesome God. When that Red Sea parted, he just like God said it. You know, Moses saw it for the very first time himself, the same time that all the other people of God saw it. But you know what that did? That just continued on building the faith of Moses in his God. And God wants to continue to build your faith and mine in him as we walk through this world, as we trust him, and as he gives us these experiences. He says, listen, if you're lacking anything, ask me, and I'll give it to you. It's my will. I want to build your faith. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan for each and every one of his children. So as we consider this, let's move on to what is in thine heart. We saw what was in his hand, and now we want to consider what's in his heart. What's in thine heart? And this is really unbelief to be dealt with by the Lord through his grace. And this is how he builds up confidence in our heart. So you would think everything was good now, right? Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, Oh my, you know there's a problem coming, right? Oh my, he should have been, and yet the Lord knew this, and still is graceful to the Lord to Moses. He's still good, isn't he? Even in spite of this situation that's getting ready to happen here. And Moses said, verse 10, unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So here's the question. Who is Moses looking to?
Himself.
And whose ability?
His own.
Listen, let's not be too hard on Moses, all right? Let's not be too hard on him. Did he not just see a rod turn into a snake? And a snake turned back into a rod. Did he not see his hand turn to leprosy and his hand come back to leprosy? Wouldn't you think that would be enough? But it wasn't enough. Now listen, for a moment there, Moses was impressed with God. I think he was really impressed when he took his hand back in his and pulled it out and it was fine. I think, whew, thank you, Lord. Amen? But wait, God didn't even say anything, but said, now listen, you're gonna go ahead. They're going to listen to you, and I'm going to give you something else. If they don't believe you, you pour water out, and it's going to turn to blood. And so you would think, okay, Lord, you've shown me two things. You've revealed to me that you're with me. And now he says, you know what, Lord? As the more I think about this, let me tell you what I think. The more I think about this, Lord... Let me tell you how I think. What's the problem with that? Yeah, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, are they? Aren't you glad? Amen. I'm so glad God's thoughts are not ours, because none of us would be here. None of us would be here. God is so patient. He's so kind. He's so understanding. And we can be brutish, can we not, in our thinking? I mean, listen, how would you say this? This is unfaithful, right? In other words, Moses is not believing the Lord. In fact, Moses is not even looking to the Lord. God has said, here's what I want you to do, and here's who I want you to speak to. And now Moses is saying, but wait a minute, I have a deficiency. Question, did God know that? Did God not know that deficiency? He did. He knew all about that. But see, let's not throw Moses under the bus. He was concerned. He was concerned. And so he said, listen, God, I have a problem. Now, he's not really walking by faith in this situation. He says, I want you to know I'm of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? So listen, Moses was looking at himself. God was trying to let Moses look at the Creator who made man's mouth. You see the difference? When we look at ourselves, mark it down, we're off track. When we use human reasoning and not the spoken word of God, and we have the Bible today, we will misunderstand God's purpose and plan for our lives, and we will go off course. We will do that. Now, here's the good news. God does not want us to go off course. And God is merciful and kind and loving to work with us even when we go off course. But listen, let's not use that as an excuse to stay off course. So notice what happens here. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's heavy. Did you hear what the Lord said? He made the deaf, the blind. He made all those. And the world would say, well, I'm not going to put my faith in that kind of a God. They don't know the Lord. They don't know. Listen, here's what we know. God does everything right, even if we don't understand it.
Amen.
I will be the first one to tell you, I don't understand what God just told Moses about that. How he makes the ones that can't speak and the blind and the deaf, how he does that. And yet I will tell you this. Here's what I know. When we get to heaven, we're going to go, oh, you were right the whole time. You were right the whole time. How do we know that? Because we have trusted the Lord thus far. And God has done things in our lives to build our faith in Him, and that we might see His mercy and His love to us, that we might, even when we don't understand, Lord, I'm going to walk in Your way. And so that's a process that God has to work out in every believer's life. Now, he says this to him again in verse 11. Now, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, what? You know what that means? Trust me. That's what God is saying. Now, therefore, that ought to settle it for you. Right? I think people used to say this. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's true. But the better way to say it, God said it. That settles it. I believe it.
Amen.
Whether I believe it or not is insignificant.
Amen.
If God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not.
Amen.
And so God, that's where God is wanting. Let it. When thus saith the Lord, that ought to settle it for you and I as believers, as children of God. So he says, now therefore, verse 12, I'm the one that did all this. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. Listen to this, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I mean, my goodness, did the Lord just not teach him and show him some wonderful things just there?
Right.
Yeah, okay, so if God showed him that, will he forsake him when he goes forward? No. Likewise also in our life. Did not the Lord say, I hold you in my hand and no man takes you out of my hand? Did the Lord not say, I'll be with you all the way to the end? Amen? And forever, in eternity. So we ought to be able to have our confidence, our trust, faith in the Lord and following after Him. But what happens here in verse 13 to Moses? And the Lord, and he said, Moses, oh my Lord... We ought to just say, oh my, amen, oh my. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Well, he already told him who he wants to send, didn't he? But he's not seeing it. And the Lord knew that. So what happens here in verse 14? The Lord's displeasure with unbelief. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We can make God mad. We can make God mad. We can walk our own way and justify in our own heart our thinking with and ignore what God has said. And that's what Moses was doing. We can make God angry with us. You know what that ought to do? Instill reverential fear to who we're dealing with. God does not think, he has laid out in his word how he thinks. And we need to be careful because our accountability, your accountability, my accountability will be according to the word of God. And if we work outside of the word of God, we are potentially in danger, especially if we're conflicting with the word of God. That becomes a detriment, really, in the life of a believer. And we can resist the wooing of the Spirit of God, and we can just be, you know, does anybody want a testimony like King Saul? He's a perplexing testimony. You know, I mean, he prophesied with the prophets, but he acted like a carnal man. And you're kind of wondering, he's consorted with witches. And that's just a paradox when it comes to being a child of light, that you're in darkness. And so that's, you know, I'm just going to tell you, I wouldn't want his testimony. I wouldn't want his testimony. I think maybe he was saved. But is that what we want people to say? I think. Maybe they know Jesus. They say they do. You know? And the Lord be with thee, David. Meanwhile, he's hiding out. Well, why is the Lord? And that was like, you know, David tells him, I'll take on the giant. Don't worry, you know, I'll do it. God delivered the lion and the bear in my hand. The Lord be with me, with you. Here's my armor. That was a conflict. If the Lord's with you, he doesn't need. David didn't ask you for his armor. And then when he put it on, it was too big. And David, being kind to King Saul, said, I've not proved these. You know, I don't know if in his mind he said, you've got to be out of your mind. Amen. This is never gonna work. I can't wear this stuff. And so the anger, verse 14, of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? He's asking Moses this. Of course, right? And notice, I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Listen, God was merciful to Moses. Question, who put it in the heart of Aaron to come seek out his brother Moses? And he already told him everything. He says, I want you to know, when he sees you, he's going to be glad to see you. I don't know where the line is at, but that is a dangerous place to be where Moses was at that particular moment in time. And by the way, Moses did blow it and didn't make it into the promised land. And that was because he misrepresented the Lord before the people when he smote the rock. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's only crucified once, not twice. And he misrepresented the Lord. The Lord told him, speak to the rock and they'll get the water. And when he got angry, he misrepresented to the people that God was angry with them. That's not what the Lord said to him. And so there's a lot of accountability that we get the things of God right and the Spirit of God right, that we represent him and not ourselves. And so notice what happens here. He says, I'm going to send you Aaron, and thou shalt speak, verse 15, unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Did you get that? God says, I'm not giving up on you. Did you see that? God said, now listen, you, God's merciful. I don't understand it. You share with me if you understand it better than I do. I'd be glad to hear, because I love the mercy of God, and God loves us to be merciful. Okay? So here it is. So he said, now here comes Aaron. And look what God says. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell him. If God was done, he'd say, you just step aside, I'll just use Aaron. He didn't do that. He said, he's building up his faith, and here's what you're going to see. We're not going to look at it tonight, but in fact, I don't have it planned in the future, but if you want to go on ahead later on, you'll find out that Moses is the one that ends up doing the talking to Pharaoh. Amen. I mean, Aaron starts it out, but the Lord builds up the confidence in Moses, and he's a direct communication with Pharaoh later on. So anyway, he says, verse 16, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, you're going to be the mediator. He's going to come to you to get the information that I'm going to give to you to give to him. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. You know how come? God was already working. God was already working. Let him go ahead and give up the responsibilities that he had there. And then, what's in our head? What is in thine head? And the Lord, verse 19, said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Remember, he killed the Egyptian, and the thing was known. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Did you see that? The rod of God. It was just a rod. What's in your hand, Moses? A rod. What's it now? The rod of God. Did you see that? Amen? Listen, speak. Remember, we heard that today as of the oracles of God. In other words, God wants us so in tune with him that when we're speaking the words of God, it's like the lost people are hearing from the Lord, because it's the light of God. It's the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the words that we're using that brings conviction into the life of those who need to know the Lord. And so he's got the rod of God in his hand, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart. And notice that he shall not let the people go. Now he's telling Moses these things. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Did you get that? Israel, the people of God, are the firstborn. Now watch this. And I say unto thee, verse 23, let my son go that he may serve me. Listen to this. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, he's talking to Pharaoh, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. That's the first time it's mentioned right there. God told Moses that if Pharaoh doesn't listen, he's going to pay with the life of his son. And when it was all said and done, was not that what happened? And when that happened, don't you know, Moses said, just like the Lord told me. See, God tells us things and then reveals them to us and shows us. Verse 24, and it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a blooded husband thou art to me. She didn't understand all this, so that he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art to me because of the circumcision. But this was the covenant that God had. It was an exterior covenant, but it was revealing that I am committed. I am marked for the Lord. And she didn't understand that. And in order to, listen, all these things had to be made right before the Lord. Verse 27, and the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Did you get that? You remember how far back? Before he went and asked Jethro to let him go, before he did that transaction, the Lord told him, your brother's coming out to look for you. This is day, he's going to come looking for you. So now watch this. Moses didn't see that for a few days here. And the Lord said to Aaron, verse 27, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Did you see how that works? Listen, this was days later. Moses wasn't, he was in Midian. And he knew his brother was over in Egypt. And so don't you know that when this is happening, another confirmation, just like God said. Just like God said. So notice, so Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. So now Aaron's got this communication with, or Moses has this communication with Aaron. They've got this all together. Look at verse 29, and we're finished here. And this is where God wants to bring us ultimately. And listen, so listen, what's in your hand, the rod, what's in your heart, faith or unbelief, and what's in your head? What are you going to lean to? Your own understanding or what God's word said? And if we'll lean to what the Lord has said, he will bring us to the place of worship. All right? So, and this is the last thought here. Verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Now, remember what Moses' concern was? They're not going to believe me. Now, watch this. Verse 30, and Aaron, so he's the spokesperson, spake all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. This is what God said he was going to work for them. And the people believed. Did you see that? Question, did God give Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel what they needed to have faith in God? They needed to see. They did need to see. You and I need to see what God has promised that he will work out in our lives. And so he knows that. And so notice again, they saw the signs in the sight of the people. And verse 31, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and what? And worshiped. That's God's work. He brings us. Listen, you know what they all thought? And by the way, Moses and Aaron needed to see it too, again. Amen. Again. And you know, when they saw it again, that's our God. Look how faithful our God is. Amen. And what did they do? They just sat there and worshiped. And worship. I told you this story, and I do need to just repeat it because I never really quite heard this. My sister told me about, and I'll just tell you what I thought too. She wanted me to call one of her friends because she wanted to know about salvation. And I really did not know where this was going to go. I really didn't. And I thought, okay, I didn't know what it was going to be. Is she going to ask me questions, how receptive is she going to be? She was ready to trust the Lord. She was so ready. She trusted Christ as her Savior. And I got off the phone with her and called my sister. She said, let me call her. Let me get off the phone and rejoice with her. My sister wants to call her friend. She calls her friend, and her friend tells her, I think she said something like, call me back in 30 minutes or I'll call you back. I am still taking this all in. She said something like, I just want to bask in the moment of the salvation that God has given to me. Isn't that something? She was rejoicing and she just wanted to just worship is what she was doing. Worship. Who did that for her? The same one that will do it for us. It has to be the Lord. And we have to say, yes, God, do that in us. So question, what is in our hands? What is in our hearts? What is in our heads? Because God wants to bring us to the place of worship. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that opens up the scriptures to us and allows us to look at you, Lord, your great grace, your great mercy, and your great love toward each and every one of us. Lord, may you draw us closer to you that we might walk in you and truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Lord, we ask your blessings. Build Northwood for your honor and glory. Use us, Lord. Let us see souls saved, baptized, and discipled. May we be unified together in seeking you to perform what you've promised in our lives, that we might truly be the light of the world you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.